Dave. And for others, this may be an opportunity for you to pass from death into life. So I dedicate this to Ted Bigley, who is a man of God. He's an evangelist. He's in UCI hospital right now, fighting for his life. And I felt this was fitting to do this kind of teaching and to honor him with it, as well as I believe it's the word of the Lord. And with that, I want to show a couple of tapes with the heavenly purposes about heaven and about hell. So can we start with the Mary Baxter CD or YouTube?
Mary Baxter was given a vision of heaven, complete with angels and beautiful landscapes. But she was told that angels don't just sing all day long. They also keep records.
So he took me to this record room. And all above all these doors was a number, or also an alphabet number of someone's last name. And he said, there's thousands of these rooms up here, but we keep accurate records, is what he told me. And he said, when someone gets born again, their message comes up here, and we're going to show you what happens. So all at once, I am translated with this angel outside heaven over the earth. He said, God has spoken. I'm to show you something about the record room so you can tell the people on the earth. So he said, now, God has given me the permission and the power to do this. He said, we're going to go to a church service on the earth, and you're going to actually see when someone gets saved what happens. You preach the message, and you call them to the altar, but we're going to show you what happens in the spirit. I said, okay. So we end up going down, and there's this church, and all at once we're inside the church, but they can't see us. And he said, what do you see? I said, well, I see a lot of angels. There was 12 angels, two on the platform, one in the back of the church with a pen in his hand. And the man said, that was with me, the angel said, there's also a big church on the top of the church. I mean, an angel on top of the church. He's in charge of all these other angels. He said, every church in the earth that's ordained, he said, look and learn. So I looked. And the preacher was preaching, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon the Lord while he's near. And then the preacher said, we're going to take up an offering. And as he did, there were two angels with record books, came, and every time someone gave an offering or a tithe, they wrote their name down and how much they gave and the attitude they gave it in. Isn't that something? And then they did all that, prayed over everything. The angels helped them pray over the money. And these things are very serious to God, okay? And then they put the name of the church, name of the pastor, how old it is. And it's really an order. So after all that was done, the man begins to preach again about sins. And then the back door opens up. A man comes in. He was very drunk. So he comes up to the front. He said, I'm an old sinner. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. And the preacher said, well, son, do you really know what you're saying? He said, yes. Said, I've run and run from God for years. I want to give my life to him. This is what he said. And so two men came down from the pastor, went down, talked to him, and started opening up the Bible and reading it to him, how to be saved. And immediately, two powerful angels appeared out of nowhere on each side of this man. And the angel with me said, we're going to show you something about the change of the heart. And we're going to show you what sin does to people. And all around this man's body was black bands, like microphone ropes and things. And the angel said, he's in bondage. But as he confesses his sins to God and asks forgiveness in the name of Jesus, those bands will be bursted. And he said, look what we do. And the man said, well, I'm an old drunk and a liar. God forgive me. in Jesus' name, wash me in your blood. And when he did, one of the big angels touched his band and burst into fire and melted off. Every time he confessed a sin to God, said, I'm a manipulator, you know, and all these things. He said, I'm an adulteress. He said, Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name. And everything was from his heart. And then and all the bands began to fall off, and he began to get really, really warm. An angel touched his heart, and his heart was black before, and it turned crimson red. God gave him a brand new heart. And I watched this as the man straightened up and praised the Lord. And then we left the service, and the angel of the Lord said, 3 days has passed. I want to show you another scene. So he took me to a little apartment. There was the same man laying on the couch, and the angel of, there was two angels in the room, or three, and said, he's dying. And the man grabbed his chest, and he had a heart attack. He died. And his soul came, I seen it, come right out of his body and stand beside him. And he was an outline like a negative on a film, and he was transparent looking. You really couldn't tell who he was, you know, then. And the man said, the two angels stepped over to him and said, we're here to escort you to heaven because you received Jesus Christ 3 days ago, and according to our record, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the man said, oh no, I don't know nothing about Jesus much. I've got to learn. And the angel said, fear not, there's schools in heaven. You'll be going to school and you'll learn. And he said, but I was a mean old rascal. And they said, and according to us, your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And they began to escort him to heaven, and I got to go with them. And they brought the man to a place of heaven where was the river of life. The river of life was water that anybody could walk on, swim in, go under, you were not drowned. It was beautiful. But on each side of the river was trees for the healing of the nations. And there would be a golden cup there. It's in the book of Revelations. And they would pull the leaves off and give them to the man to eat and this water to drink. So he went through the river of life and came out on the other side, and you could hear his family shouting. In fact, the redeemed and angels was everywhere watching this shouting. And the angel said to me, he's going to come back over this side, and we're going to see what we do. So he took me to a corridor where there was all doors, archways, and they were open. One was a room of crowns, one was a room of robes, one was a room of gowns. And the angel said, because he just got saved, he only gets a gown of salvation, but he will go to school here in heaven. And I watched him bring the man over, but you couldn't tell he was really a man yet because he was still transparent looking. And they brought him into this room, and I could hear him laughing with him. And I knew that they were trying on his robe. And when they brought him out, the man looked 80 when he died. He looked like 29 or 30 years old. He had jet black hair, taller, smiling. And the angels said, we knew which was your robe. We were just playing with you. And said, come, we're going to try on your crown. Said, you get a crown of salvation. So they took him into the other room, and you could hear him laughing and playing with him, and he came out with his crown on a tray. Now the crown had gold, just solid gold, with little spikes on it. I don't know how you would call that. But they said that God has to put the crown on your head. That's what he told him.
When we return,
okay.
A glimpse of more angels, a heavenly band, and the throne.
Heaven is real, more real than we know. People who have died, they say they feel more, they sense more, they have greater intelligence. They feel the glory. Things are alive in heaven. Grass is alive. It's not just harps and things like that. There are chores. There's things that people are to do. There's things that angels do. It is a real place, and it is a place that Revelation says there's no crying, there's no pain. There's no more sorrow. The old order has passed away. But there's another place that many people go, and I want to remind you of that with this next clip. And this clip, I'm going to put my hand up to tell you to stop because we're not going to watch the whole thing. It's called Don't Be Caught Dead Without Jesus. okay. It's one thing to read the scriptures, and after a while you go, yeah, I've read about the lake of fire, I've read about burning. Lazarus, he longed for some water and tormented in hell. It's another thing to kind of see a picture of it and think about. There are people, and many, many people, who will be going there. I want you to just kind of look down, like straight down, and just imagine you can see to the center of the earth. There are millions, if not billions, of souls who have left their bodies, their dirt bodies, and they've traveled with their spiritual bodies, which can feel and sense and think and have physical pain and regret and hopelessness, into a fire to be tormented by the demonic as well as the flames, with no hope forever and ever. It's a really dreary picture, and we don't want to look at it, and the unbelievers don't want to look at it. In fact, I forgot the statistics. I think half of Americans don't even believe there is a hell, and they think, well, God wouldn't do that. But God says in his word, this is reality. So he, in the scriptures, has warned us that there is a hell, the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus himself said, if your eye causes you to sin, or your hand, cut it off. It's better to enter life without an eye or a hand than to go to hell. In other words, it's a serious matter. God has also given us messengers who have come back from hell. There's quite a number of people who have come back from hell. And he has also sent certain Christians to go to hell and come back to warn everyone. So I think it's only right to warn people as well as tell them the good news of the love of God, that they not go there. First story I want to tell you is about a man in Cambodia who was raised from the dead. Kathy and I have both met him and gone to his house. The story is, he was an unbeliever. His wife became a believer. She was maybe 2 weeks old in Jesus. Her husband got sick one day, and he died. He died that day. The whole village knew it, and they came and mourned with her. And they were very poor, and they had a coffee table, and that's the only furniture they had. And they laid his body on the coffee table, and the coffee table was to be his coffin. But the woman had heard that Jesus raised people from the dead to the light, to back to life. And she didn't know that she couldn't do that. So she got her family and some friends to pray with her over the body. They prayed that day, and they prayed all night. In the meantime, this man had died. He had left his body. He traveled down through a tunnel, and he went down to a place of fire. There was a river of fire flowing over a cliff into a lake of fire. And he saw bodies and humans going down this lake of fire crying, and they were going into eternal doom and punishment. And he was standing in line with a bunch of other people waiting to be seen by a man with a book. And he got up to where the man was. The man looked at the book. He flipped the pages. He goes, your name is not here. You have to leave. Lucky guy. So he traveled back up, and he came back into his body, and he sat up in the morning. His wife had been praying all night. Needless to say, he accepted Christ. And he became a minister. So in the morning, he decided he's going to go for a walk because he's kind of stiff from being dead. And the villagers look at him and scream and start yelling, ghost, ghost. And they run to their homes and slam the door shut. And he said, oh my gosh, there's a ghost. And he runs home and slams the door shut. He said he did not know that he was the ghost. That is his story. There is a man from my former church, one of my former churches in Southern California. His story is also like that. He was a very successful businessman. He was into himself, lots of pride, into working out. And one day he was jogging, and he had a massive coronary heart attack. He died before he hit the ground. He hit the ground, broke his teeth open, and died right there on the spot. The paramedics were called. They did mouth-to-mouth and CPR on him all the way to the hospital. In the hospital, they brought him back. And when he came to not just kind of waking up, he came to screaming and screaming and screaming. He was screaming because he had gone to hell. He did not believe in a hell. He was an atheist until that time. But he was brought back to life. Needless to say, he's a Christian, and that is his testimony. He does not like giving his testimony. He shudders, and you can tell he dislikes it very much. In fact, he will not describe hell very much to you. He'll just say, I did go there, and it was terrible, and I can't tell you much more because I may break out crying. Hell is a terrible place, and broad is the way to hell, and many travel that way. There are many other stories, 23 Minutes in Hell, and another one, Ian, who had a jellyfish, boxer jellyfish sting. Many people have died and come back. So hell is real, and heaven is real. We just get so caught up in our lives that we don't think about it very much. My question to you is, if you were to die right now and you stood before God and he said to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say to him? You guys are giving it away. Some people might have to think, and they might go, well, gosh, I go to church. God, I go to church. I'm a pretty good person. My good deeds kind of outweigh my bad deeds. That kind of answer means that you're trying to get there by works, and you cannot get there by works. Because the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. So we can't work our way into heaven. There's only one way, and that's through the blood and grace of our God, Jesus Christ. So if you were to stand there, you would say, because of your blood, Jesus. And that's how I get in there, by faith in your blood. The cross is God's only way of mercy. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. That means you cannot come through the New Age. You cannot come through Buddhism. You cannot come through Eastern religions. You cannot come through Islam. You cannot come any other way except through Jesus. And we, as his disciples, have the key to eternal life, and we are to speak it over other people and compel them to come in. The good news is Jesus. When the angels came at Jesus' birth, they sang, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. We know that there is no peace on earth. What the angels were saying, there is peace between God and man, because God decided to bring peace upon man by sending Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. He now has goodwill towards us. He now looks at us differently. He does not want to judge us, and he wants no one to go to hell. Yet many will. Jesus said of himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish in hell, but have eternal life. He is the way. It's an easy way. You don't have to get on your knees like the Buddhists or some people and go up a mountain and walk on your knees and try to hurt yourself, try to be good enough. You can't do it. It's a free gift, and it's easy. It's a pain by faith. That is the currency of heaven. You might think, well, gosh, that doesn't seem like much, but faith pleases God. He did the work. He just says, believe. Follow him, repent, and believe. That is the way, and that is what we're to preach. We are the messengers. All of you are the messengers. I am the messenger. Matthew 6:15, and he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel, the good news. The gospel means good news that Jesus came to every creature, of the whole human race. He who believes will be saved. He who believes and baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Those who reject Jesus and do not believe what he did and refuse to follow him will go to this hell. And there will be no hope. And they will know there will be no help forever. Now on the other side, there is the grace of God. I did a deliverance with a man who did very evil things. He'd come out of Satanism. He had blood pacts with Satan. He did terrible things. I can't mention them. It grieved me. It wasn't the deliverance that bothered me. It was what he did. For a week or two after that. And he said, I cannot be forgiven by God. You don't know what I've done. And then he told me. I kind of wish he hadn't. But he told me. And I said, the word says he will forgive every sin. If you repent and believe that he'll take that sacrifice of everything you did for Satan. And he said that he would accept Jesus, and he accepted Jesus. It was very difficult. The demons were fighting him. And then I took him through a deliverance. And I did not deliver him. God delivered him. And threw out every demon that was in him. And if God delivered him from the demons, then that tells me that God accepted him. Because he set him free. See, God is not looking for an excuse to throw us into hell. You don't send your most precious gift, your son, the Son of God, to die for something that's worthless to you. You send your most precious son to die for what you consider very valuable, your lost sons and daughters. And we are not to see ourselves as junk. We are sons and daughters, and we are to see people that are lost as lost sons and daughters and bring them in the kingdom. Other scriptures indicate that believing in God comes with the understanding that the repentance of sin is to follow. I will read you one of them, 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that the unrighteous and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived or misled. Neither the impure, the immoral, or adulterers or idolaters, nor those who participate in homosexuality, nor cheaters, swindlers and thieves, nor greedy graspers, nor drunkards, nor foul-mouthed revilers and slanderers, nor extortionists and robbers will inherit or have any part in the kingdom of God. And such were some of you once. But you were washed clean, purified, completely atoned for sin, and made free from the guilt of sin. The guilt of sin. And you were consecrated, set apart, hallowed, made holy. And you were justified, pronounced righteous, and trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of our God. You see, God doesn't care what we've done. But he wants us to follow him once we receive him. He wants sons and daughters, not sons of the devil. It's not a contradiction. There's other scriptures, many scriptures like this, that we are to live a righteous life. Now, none of us can earn salvation. Let's say you became a Christian and you are perfect from that point on. You sinned in the past, though I doubt that you'll never make a mistake after becoming a Christian. It is only by grace that we are saved. So it is not a contradiction for God to ask us to live a righteous life. With all this, one of the big questions in the church is, what is my destiny? I don't know my destiny. Lord, what is my destiny? We all have a destiny, and it is the same destiny. Love God and love one another. That is our destiny. That comes in many forms. Now, the Lord may give you different giftings to go about doing that, but we are to love others as well as God. One of the main ways that we can love God and others is to tell them about Jesus and tell them that they need to repent and lead them to Christ. There's a scripture in Daniel 12:3 talking about the rewards of those who bring many into righteousness, that they will shine like the firmaments, like the stars of heaven. And Jesus talks about the righteous shining like the sun. There's a glory that comes with leading people to Christ and obedience. Not all people have the same glory in heaven. It's how obedient we have been and how much we have loved and how many we've decided to make an effort to bring in. Now, Ted Bigley, I spoke of earlier, the evangelist. Kathy and I would go out to dinner with he and his wife, and it was kind of annoying sometimes because you'd be talking to him, and he's kind of looking around like this at everybody in the restaurant. And what he was doing was he was saying, "Lord, who? Who do I lead to Christ?" And we saw him do it over and over again. The Lord would show him someone, and he would go over. He would strike up a conversation, and invariably, they'd be praying with him 5 minutes later. He led so many people to Christ and leads people to Christ. Ted Begley's favorite pickup line is, "By the way, do you know Jesus? Would you like to?" Now, many of us think, gosh, I don't think I'm well-equipped in leading others to Christ. We're going to talk about that, but that's a good pickup line. "By the way, do you know Jesus? Would you like to?" "Yes, I would like to." "Well, then let's pray." Simple, huh? I talked to Ted a little bit about some of his secrets to bringing people to Christ. He said, one, don't quote scriptures to them. They don't know a scripture from a hole in the head. They're unsaved. Just talk to them. Show them that you love them. Show them that Jesus loves them. And ask them, "Do you want to receive him? Do you want to follow him?" And that way, he has led hundreds of people a year to Christ. He's probably led, what, 300 a year, would you say, an average? For, what, how many, 30 years? One-on-one. His wife would sometimes go, "Well, I don't know where my husband went. We went out shopping, and he disappeared, but I know he's leading somebody to Christ." He did that all the time. So he said, ask God to bring people in your path and look for them. Who do you want, Lord? Start a conversation, listen to them, introduce Jesus, overcome any objections without arguing. You don't want to argue, and ask for a decision. It's that simple. The rest, he says, is like a crapshoot. It's a matter of odds and numbers. You roll the dice, and you win or lose, or they win or lose. Ted followed the scriptures and follows the scriptures to go to the highways and byways and compel them to come in. We're to compel them to come in so they don't end up like the picture that we saw, falling into hell. I regret some of the decisions I've made in my life. One being my grandfather. He was a Freemason. I was a young man. I was concerned for his soul. He was dying. I came to him, I said, "Granddad, do you know Jesus?" He kind of looked down, looked at me, and shook his head, "Yeah." And I let it go like that. So whether he ever accepted Jesus, I don't know, because I didn't push the point. I didn't talk a little bit more about it. So don't make the same mistake that I've made with your grandparents, your relatives, or others. Overcome the fear. Tell them about Jesus and that he loves them. In the church, the prophetic words are, there's going to be a great revival, and they're going to come pouring into the church. Unfortunately, many of us are waiting for that word before we do anything. Yet Jesus said, the harvest is ripe. Bring them in. Compel them in. Do it now. People die and go to hell now before that outpouring. Let's do more. And I'm speaking to me, too. And I'm not beating you up, by the way. I'm encouraging you. Let's look for opportunities for the gospel. Who, ask yourself, why was I open to the gospel? Why did I come to Jesus? Look for people like you. Lead them to Christ. Also, persons who are depressed, rejected, lonely, suicidal, those that feel guilty, feel condemned, self-hatred, outcast, hurting, these people are more open to Jesus. You can bless them, you can love them, and you can bring Jesus to them. By the way, this is what God did for me, and I see that you're hurting. Would you like to receive Jesus now? Can we pray? Simple as that. And don't just leave it there. Disciple them. Take them to church. Whatever you can do. Persons who are seeking answers to big questions, especially young people, who am I and why am I here and who is God? What is my purpose? These people, these young people are open to Christ. Lead them to Christ. Show them the way. Persons involved in seeking supernatural spiritual experiences in the occult, these people are very open, many of them very open to Christ because they are looking for spiritual experiences. They are looking for truth, but they're looking in the wrong way, in the wrong side, and they don't know it for the most part. Those are great people to lead the Lord because they are already spiritual minded. Go for them. Show them the way. Tell them, I've got a better spiritual guide for you. I've got a better angel guide for you. I've got a guide for you who created the universe. God Almighty, His name is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will live in you. If you'll give up your angel guide, you can have something better. You'd be surprised what happens. Kathy and I have led people to the Lord during deliverances. New Age people, I love to lead them to the Lord. I had a witch that came in one day, and she was truly seeking the truth, but she just didn't know that what she was doing was wrong. She said, I accept all religions. I accept Christianity. I'm a Christian. I accept Buddhism. I accept witchcraft. I accept this and that and that. And I said, no, you can't do that. Jesus said that He is the way, the only way, the truth, and the light. And these demons, she was tormented by demons, by the way, will not leave you unless you renounce your angel guide and you renounce all these other religions and make Jesus your only religion, Christianity your only religion. And she struggled and struggled with that, but she didn't want to leave. I said, here's some material, go leave. You know, make your decision. But she wouldn't get up. And she struggled. And then finally I said, look, you'll get the Holy Spirit instead of this angel guide. At that, that made her decision. She said, yes, I will renounce everything. I will become a Christian. In the deliverance, the angel guide slapped her across the face. Her head went spinning, and she goes shocked and looked at me, and she said, my angel guide just slapped me. And I said, because he's no angel. We kicked him out. She became a Christian, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, some people would... Some people would be, oh my gosh, I don't want to get near occult people. Look, you got the Holy Spirit in you. That's bigger than any angel guide. You don't have to fear that. That's a prime opportunity, somebody in the cult. Go by the bookstore. Somebody reading the occult literature. Go up to them and go, hey, I got some good news for you. You like angel guides, spirit guides? I got one that will beat everything you got. Lead them to Christ. You get a great story out of it, too. Physical problems. Do you see someone sick and the Lord is urging you to pray for them on the streets or somewhere? My nephew saw a guy in the wheelchair at Starbucks, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. And the Lord said, go pray for him. He goes, Lord, he's in a wheelchair. That's too big for me. So he goes, gets his coffee, and he sits down. The guy pulls up in his wheelchair near a booth near him, and he's looking at him, and the Lord keeps nudging him. Go pray for him. Go pray for him. He goes, Finally, he goes, all right, I'll pray for him. So he goes over to the guy and says, what's wrong? He goes, oh, I had an accident, and this happened, and I haven't been able to walk in 3 weeks. The last time I tried, it was so painful I couldn't stand up, so I'm just in this wheelchair. Young guy. He goes, you know what? The God of the universe lives within me, His Holy Spirit. And if you want to, I'll pray for you and you'll get healed. Talk about boldness from, Lord, So he laid hands on him, and he said to the guy, "Why don't you stand up and test your legs and see if you can stand up?" He goes, "Oh, I don't know if I want to. It's really painful." He goes, "Just try it." The guy gets up. He gets a shocked look on his face, and he starts jumping up and down, and he couldn't believe it. And he said, thank you so much. My nephew said, "Don't thank me. Jesus healed you." So he sat down, drank his coffee. The other guy did his thing. Then when the guy was through, he got up, threw away his Starbucks coffee, took his wheelchair, and wheeled it out like this to his car, put it in his car, drove off. What a great opportunity to add to that and say, God just healed you. He loves you so much. Would you like to receive him as your Lord and Savior? Would you like to know him? I'm sure that guy would have said yes, but I'm not sure what happened. Maybe he did, but that was a part of the story that I heard. So that's another way that we lead people to Christ. Another way is through prophetic words. My wife, as you know, is very prophetic, and she would go to the theaters and just talk to people, and she would call out their destiny. Hey, your desire is to be a businessman, isn't it? And it has to do something with bikes, isn't it? Yeah, I want to start a bike shop, da-da-da. Open door. All the objections that he would normally have are down. He's open to whatever she has to say. She's led people to the Lord that way, haven't you, honey? So if you have the prophetic gifting, use it out there. Bring people in. And finally, the poor, they're more open because they're not proud. So these are people to look for in anyone else the Lord shows you. Bring them into the kingdom. And let's look at a few questions you can use to bring them into the kingdom. I want you to turn to one another and repeat this one. If you were to die tonight, do you know for certain that you'd go to heaven? Then you can start the conversation and lead them to the Lord if they're not certain. And here's another one. If you were to die tonight and God said to you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you say? Say that to each other. Okay, the next one. By the way, do you know Jesus? Say that to one another. And if you got a no, then would you like to? And if they say yes, I give you three simple words to lead them to the Lord. The three simple words is admit, believe, and receive. Will you admit that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he came and died on the cross for you? Will you believe that? And will you receive him as your Lord and Savior? Admit, believe, and receive. Say that to each other. It's that simple. It's easy to lead someone to the Lord. Try to disciple them if you can, or lead them to church. You want to keep that. You want to take that second, that next step. There's a man called Reinhard Bonnke. He's led, I don't know, 70 million people to the Lord through crusades in Africa and India and other places. His theme and his motto is, "Let's plunder hell and populate heaven." Let's let this house be a house that plunders hell and populates heaven, whether it's in season or out of season. Another bumper sticker that I've seen that says, "Everybody is going to live forever somewhere." Where are you going to live? Yes. And that's another one that you can use with people. You can talk to them about that. You can bring almost any subject around to this. You can. But it's not a conquest. It's a thing of love. You listen to them. You respect their opinion. If they don't want it, then they don't want it. But you roll the dice, and you'll get a lot of people in the kingdom. So for a second, I want everybody who's a Christian to shut your eyes and ask God to show you different people he wants you to talk to about Jesus. Whether relatives or employers or coworkers or neighbors, whoever it is, boyfriend, girlfriend. And when he shows you, I want you to say, yes, Lord. Everybody say, yes, Lord. And share your testimonies when they come in. Because if you do this, you'll be amazed at how many people come into the kingdom. So with that, if there's anyone here who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they do not want to go to hell, they're willing to commit their lives to Christ because you screwed it up enough anyway, come forward if there's anybody like that. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So come if there's anyone here to receive Jesus. And if there's anyone here, you can just come on up. If there's anyone here who's turned their back on Jesus and said, no, Lord, you're not my Lord, I'm going to do it my way, time to repent and come forward too. Okay. For those of you who want to do more of this, who want the boldness to witness and want to get impartation in prayer, we're just going to have you guys come up and we'll pray for you. And those of you who are evangelists and do this and have led many people to the Lord, I want you to be the prayers. Pray over them. And impart to them boldness. Impart to them what you have. And there again, if anyone wants to come forward to become a Christian, do so anyway, even though you didn't before. Heaven and hell is in the balance. Okay, who's the prayer people? We need some prayer people. Ministry leaders, any of you guys want to pray, come and pray. We're just praying for the anointing of the Lord to come, the conviction of the Lord to come, the boldness to come, the power to overcome the fear of rejection for the sake of love. So, Father, we ask for your boldness over each person, over myself too. Father, we ask for divine appointments that we can lead many into heaven, that we can save them from hell because of what you did on the cross. Let us be the part that you want us to be, Lord. Show us, give us eyes to see those that need to come into your kingdom. Give us opportunities, show us the opportunities, put the boldness on us. Let your spirit rest on us. Show us, Lord, how you feel about this situation of heaven and hell and those that go to hell. Show us. Give us revelation, just like you gave Kathy revelation, where you gave her a vision when she didn't have a heart for this and she saw people going off the cliff into a lake of fire and she got a heart for it. Reveal your heart to the people, to your people. Lord, we ask for your kingdom to come, your will to be done in our lives. Lord, we want to be servants. We want to be loving, laid down lover servants, loving you and others. Help us to overcome. And where we've been dull, Lord, we ask that you take the blinders off and the earplugs out. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without you. And that's why it's easy, because you're behind us. You want people saved. You want people in your kingdom. You died for them. Lord, give us your heart.
Jesus, here I am, your favorite one.
Some of you guys are going to get God's heart for the lost. It's already moving on you. The Spirit's already moving on you. He's beginning to impart His heart for the lost. My encounter was people were going to hell. The Lord let me feel His heart, how He felt about it. And it changed me. And I believe that some of you are not only going to get a boldness put on you, but you're going to actually get God's heart for the lost. Thank you, Lord.
Give you my heart, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill.